The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Listening to the High Spot Podcast, I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Perga. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can listen to us on Cheap Pops Podcast Network, Trendsetter, Dominion. Oh my God, man. I can see it right now, man. You have your new IWGP Heavyweight Champion in Kenny Omega. We have that to talk about with Mark Warzeka, who is our guest today on the show. You can follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast, Trendsetter. I got to get your thoughts, man. We talked about it briefly about Dominion during the weekend, but now we're here on this platform. We even wanted to get on even earlier than today because it was that damn good, Trendsetter Dominion. Whew, man, I still got to catch my breath.
Here at Jeff, I've been victim of making up words in the English language that don't make sense, right? I don't think I could find any words in the dictionary, the source, or anything to describe what we saw at Dominion because, you know, I say it time and time again, Jeff, and I know it gets cliched when I say it because, you know, whether we're at a live event or we see something on TV, whether it be W programming or something else, watching Kenny Omega and Okada do what they did and the storyline that built all the way up to that final match and what I predicted was going to happen, or hoped at least what was going to happen, is just the one reason, the main reason, guys, why I love professional wrestling, why you and I love professional wrestling. You couldn't have written it any better. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect match, Jeff, but if you had to put all your money on it, that was most likely the most perfect match I've ever seen, maybe closer to the equivalent of Steamboat Savage, and two great athletes to see them in the prime of their careers, especially a guy like Kenny Omega, after all the stuff he's gone through, after scratching and clawing to finally hold that title up in the moment where I got teary-eyed when he's hugging the Young Bucks. My goodness, Jeff, what an amazing event, Dominion. It felt like a Wrestle Kingdom to me.
It felt like a WrestleMania, man. It was just that big. And to say that it changed the landscape of pro wrestling, this will go back when you take a look at this as you head into the end of 2018. This in itself has changed the landscape for New Japan Pro Wrestling. How it has, we'll get into it in a little bit, but you just heard the call, Kevin Kelly and Don Callis crowning the brand new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion in Kenny Omega. Yes, Kenny Omega is the new face of New Japan. Now we find out he will defend that title against Cody. So is the Bullet Club fine? We will find out. And, you know, Cody was going to come down the ring and it looked like he was going to congratulate him. They look like they're going to put their past differences aside, but Cody cannot just grasp it that Kenny, it was his moment that time and he could just not live with it. He went to the backstage area and could not congratulate Kenny Omega. So obviously, this again opens up the chapter to their rivalry, which, you know, it's going to make for an awesome event at the G1 Special at the Cow Palace on July the 7th. But how this changes the face for New Japan Pro Wrestling, Trendsetter, it's simple, because not only did Kenny, a North American wrestler, become the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion,
Winnipeg boy,
but Chris Jericho becomes the Intercontinental Champion. So he's probably the greatest Intercontinental Champion now of all time now, as he beats Naito in probably one of the most hard-hitting matches I've ever seen. And it's like a rejuvenated Chris Jericho. This is the Chris Jericho that we haven't seen in the States. This is a Jericho that's got free reign and can do whatever the hell he wants. And again, another amazing matchup with Naito. And it just shows you right now that there is a huge momentum by New Japan as they head into now their portion of heading into the States now. And that global expansion they were talking about slowly but surely is coming to the States. And they're just getting great momentum and great traction for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Well, that's what I got out of it when it was all over and said and done. And you had to go back and reflect of not only the amazing matches that you saw and the great card that was set up for Dominion, Jeff, but to your point where it's like, what does this all mean? I mean, it's very easy to analyze and critique things, but, you know, to me what it all meant was kind of what you just said. It seems like New Japan Pro Wrestling now seems to be wanting to build that bridge now across the ocean into North America. And I wouldn't say trying to take things over, but not trying to open up their eyes to an audience that most likely doesn't know who New Japan is right now. I mean, for us, the die hardcores, and I say that with pride, we know New Japan, we know Ring of Honor, we know all these other promotions that have a huge amount of talent on their rosters. And for most general audiences, probably don't know who they are. But now I think with this opportunity, when you have a Chris Jericho, you have a Kenny Omega, you have the Young Bucks, you have a Jay White, you have, you know, the list goes on and on. Will Ospreay. It has the ability now of creating a new audience, a new dynamic, a new evolution of New Japan Pro Wrestling and the wrestling business together. You know, there's a distinct difference, Jeff, in my opinion, between entertainment and professional wrestling. And I think, in my opinion, as much as I have grown up as a fan of WWE, I think right now, at least at this point right now, I'm not saying that Vince is completely, you know, he's done this for a long time. He knows what he's doing. But I feel that New Japan Pro Wrestling, promotions like Ring of Honor and Impact slowly getting there, are blending the colors of entertainment and wrestling so well right now that, you know, this is the product of it and everybody's kind of jumping on the bandwagon. This is the formula for what New Japan hopes to do in the future.
I also think the formula is a little bit more wrestling and less entertainment. I think the stories are amazing, and I think the main difference is that I'm emotionally compelled. I'm emotionally invested in these wrestlers. Being the Elite, that YouTube series gets me emotionally invested. The whole situation going on, whether the Bullet Club was fine heading into Supercard of Honor in that battle between Cody and Kenny, you know, that power struggle that they had, it's culminated at Supercard of Honor with Cody winning. And then just the whole, misunderstanding, miscommunication between three amazing friends as the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega did. And then to have it all, you know, a finality there where a new chapter as they are now the Golden Elite along with Ibushi now. It's as emotionally investing and also draining too, because it is
in
a good way, because after that you're like, whoa, you're like sweaty and you're like, you know, what did I just see? And you got to watch it all over again. Everything intertwines, everything. It seems like there's a closure, yet there's one chapter's closed and another chapter is open. And that's what you want in wrestling, because let's be honest, for us guys, it's a male soap opera, you know, and it's the same thing for the females that watch. It's a soap opera, it's the athleticism, but you know what? We're emotionally invested. And when we're talking about WWE, yes, they have the wrestlers that can, you know, emotionally invest us. You know, they have that, but they just don't do that. They just, you know, you have a storyline that's blown off in like one pay-per-view. They don't have long, longevity as far as their storylines. And, you know, it's something that they're doing so well right now that we can relate to these guys. I can relate to a Kenny. I can relate to a Cody. I can relate to having misunderstanding between friends. I can relate to, you know, working hard, trying to struggle, trying to get that elusive thing that you wanted to quit at so much, but then you achieve it and it gives you hope. I can relate to this so much, and that is why I think that what they're doing right now is not only are they you know, getting the diehard wrestling fan, but they're also getting the diehard person that just wants the storylines, that really appreciates the drawn out things and not just the instant gratification. So I think what they're doing is they're just capitalizing on something that WWE has failed to do for a long time. I can't remember, Trendsetter, the last time that I was like emotionally invested into something that WWE did where I had to watch it. Maybe CM Punk with the whole pipe bomb, and when I thought that it was, hey, this could be real. It's not, but it could be. I just have, you know, more questions when it comes to New Japan about, hey, well, that could happen. That was real. That didn't. And I think that right now, it's awesome to be a fan of New Japan, of ROH, of any independent thing, of Lucha, of Impact right now. I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question. To be a wrestling fan right now in this day and age where we thought the best era in the world was the Attitude Era, where you had two huge companies fighting for position, trying to put the other one out of business, where competition was at its highest, WCW and the WWE. I most likely would have to say not that this era, because there's just so much more ability in terms with, you know, the ability now with internet and social media to see so much more content, to see it instantly. We're talking about instant gratification. You know, you look at a scenario like Okada and Kenny Omega. They prove the fact that people, you know, whether you're a fan of WWE or you're just a fan of the times now, or you're like a millennial, where they're like, oh, well, you know, we don't want to wait around for the long payoff because it's boring. We lose interest. Everybody's attention spans that of a gnat where it's only a few seconds. This proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that the old school way, quote unquote, does work. That if done right, and a lot of things have to fall into place for it to be done right, you can have a long, drawn-out storyline. Something where, you know, watching Being the Elite gets you emotionally invested into it, although it happens week by week. You're looking forward to, for example, the next episode in the series. You're looking forward to the next season of what's going to happen because, like you said, you're emotionally invested. And I think nowadays, with, you know, if we're using the example of WWE with their production value, with their publicly owned company, their billions of dollars, and they're cutting back expenses, of course, because of house shows and things of that nature. But even with all that, the fact that you can't get emotionally invested says something about, you know, less is more. And I think when New Japan, not that New Japan is anything less, obviously in terms of financially, yes, but, you know, what they do the best with what they have. And what they have right now is a lot of momentum. And that momentum is going to build up to the G1 special.
Yeah, but they also have a huge amount of talented wrestlers as well. And I think that
they're given opportunity and the time to develop themselves and figure themselves out.
Going back to Okada and Omega, what I loved about this is that four matches here that told different stories. Even in the match itself, it told different stories. So you go from the very first one to Wrestle Kingdom, where everyone said this was the greatest match of all time. Then you have that Broadway that they had that ended up in a draw. Then you have Kenny Omega getting...
Which everybody hated, by the way. They hated the fact it was a draw, but now looking at it makes sense.
And that's, again, those people that are instant gratifications that want to question everything in professional wrestling. I like the fact that they did that because it all had a plan. Everyone was like, oh, where's this going? Where's this heading to? Omega should have won to be 1-1. Hey, there was a plan to this. So then you had, of course, Kenny Omega getting the win at the G1 tournament over Okada, which set up finally 1-0-1. Someone had to come out on top here, and what a better way than 2 out of 3 pinfalls here for that championship, which also gives it meaning. That's how great it is, 2 out of 3 pinfalls. And then when Okada won the first one, and then you realize that Kenny Omega had to beat Okada twice, and then that battle that they had, and the fact that they were wrestling at the same pace that they were in the first minute, on the 65th minute, was amazing. The drop kicks by Okada and Kenny Omega. You know, I don't want to say it's the greatest match of all time simply because, you know, every time I see these two in any match, I feel like I could be watching the greatest match of all time.
Yeah, it has that potential for it.
It has the potential to it. But this match over here, if you're going to, you know, teach something, and you're telling it has to have a lot of things for something to go right. I think the most important thing, it needs two wrestlers. It needs us to be emotionally drawn, invested to these two athletes, and they do it. And I think that storyline is important. I think that also the right circumstances is important. But if you don't have those two wrestlers, if you don't have those two guys that the crowd are emotionally invested into, you're not going to do a good job. And these two guys, you can talk about maybe the Flairs and Dusty Rhodes rivalry. You can talk about any other kind of rivalry. You can even talk about a WWE match maybe between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, which was one of the greatest matches of all time, too, from 25. This is right up there. In anything that you compare it to, this is definitely a top 5, if you have a top 10 list, whatever. But this match right here is special. And it's like when we talk to Mark here, we'll ask him whether this was a top 10 or top 5 matchup of all time. Because this certainly has, and I know Dave Meltzer said that it was the greatest matchup he's seen ever. So it does have that argument whether we just saw history this past weekend.
You know, one more thing I want to say in closing to this until we get to our guest, Mark, is that, you know, how funny is it, Jeff, that we are now aware that Brock Lesnar has broken the record, CM Punk's record, for longest reigning WWE champion, not necessarily universal, but a champion within the company.
In the modern era, yep.
In the modern era. And he's defended the title maybe 11 times.
Yep.
You look at a guy like AJ Styles and everything he's accomplished in this business, being WWE champion, great for him. but he seems to be in a storyline right now that's losing, has lost a lot of momentum, and nobody seems to be really interested in. Let's not take credit away as much as we're praising Kenny Omega in this scenario. I think a lot of credit, believe it or not, and not a lot of people that I notice are talking about it, a lot of credit has to go to Okada. For the mere fact to have that long, lengthy title reign. For a lot of people
talking about the fact that
he was given that opportunity. He was kind of like maybe like the John Cena in the sense that he was just given that because he had that look. New Japan was putting everything behind him, no matter how good anybody else was, especially Kenny. And for him to hold it, and to hold a title and make that title, which is already prestigious in itself, even more important, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, a lot of credit has to go to Okada to not only have that, but to constantly, day in and day out, have different types of quality matches with so many different types of opponents, everything never the same. Kenny has a lot to live up to because when you look at it, if he has a short title reign at the G1 special, which we'll talk about the sooner we get to it, that's a real discredit to him because, you know, you have a lot to live up to. Once you've defeated the quote-unquote man, that's just more pressure for somebody like Kenny, which I'm sure he's looking forward to it, and he takes it in stride. We've heard that before, right? Taking it in stride. That he's looking forward to it. But my goodness, a lot of credit has to be given to a guy like Okada, who was being carried out of the ring, could barely walk, just showed how exhausted he was. But it also is a little homage in terms of what happened the first time Kenny and Okada fought each other. And Kenny being dragged out by the Young Bucks. It just shows you the length it takes to be that quality of a champion, which now the whole ball is in Kenny's court right now.
I mean, over 700 days as the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, I think was second to as many title defenses only to Tanahashi, I believe. So I believe that, you know, Okada right now is, if not number one, the second best wrestler in the world today. And I think that two of the best wrestlers in the world today are in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But, you know, we are so glad to have Mark Warzeka on because we talked about New Japan Dominion. We wanted to talk to somebody to break it down and recap it. We had an amazing Intercontinental Championship match between Jericho and Naito 2, which is going to go down as a classic, showing you just how great Chris Jericho is, the greatest of all time, in my opinion. So we talked to Mark Warzeka from New Japan World TV talking about Dominion, but the first thing we had to ask him was what he thought about Kenny Omega and Okada from Dominion. So here is Mark Warzeka on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, of course, Dominion was this past weekend, and what an event it was. We're talking to Mark Warzeka. Mark, just first and foremost, you did the preview show for Dominion, which was great, for New Japan TV, and just talk about, did this matchup live up to your expectations?
You know, it sounds, thanks, guys, for having me. It's great to be back with you, Jeff and Brian. And it sounds probably, you know, like a hype and hyperbole, but I have to say, honestly, that the show Dominion greatly surpassed expectations I had for it. And I had high expectations for it. I mean, like you mentioned, I was lucky enough to get to do the official preview show to co-host it on New Japan World with Kevin Kelly and Rocky Romero. And we filmed it out here in Los Angeles at the New Japan Dojo. And we were all very excited and optimistic about the show. But it was just so much better than I expected, particularly the main event. Those guys had a tremendous amount of pressure on them, and to not only be able to live up to that, but I think surpass all of our expectations is really remarkable.
Now, Kenny Omega and Okada are two very special athletes, two very special wrestlers. You talk about, you know, the whole matchup there and just everything that they did, and, you know, just for example, like the drop, because they did that towards the end, and it felt like they, you know, they had just started, and they really went like 65 minutes or so. Talk about their stamina, and just talk about how everything seemed newer, because they had a lot to they had to live up to. From the first one to the second one to the third, this was a lot to live up to.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I felt like I've been around and I've been a fan of wrestling and then around the business and in the business for over 30 years now. And I feel like I've never seen two guys as physically exhausted in still wrestling a match as Okada and Omega were in the third fall of that main event at Dominion. I mean, they were just absolutely and totally spent. And still pushing and still going and, you know, past that 60-minute mark. Of course, it was a no-time-limit match, and they went over the 60-minute mark. You know, they, of course, hit a 60-minute time limit draw in their second match, which is part of the reason for the no-time limit this time. And so the you know, when you compare, I feel like sometimes, honestly, guys, the professional wrestlers just don't get enough credit as athletes. You know, what they're doing athletically is as hard, if not harder, than any athlete in any finals game of any professional sport. It's unbelievable.
No, I would completely agree, Mark, on that statement, too. But also another thing that, you know, they don't get credit for, the athleticism of being pure athletes as they are. But something that I've noticed myself, especially watching New Japan, since we're talking about it now, is just the ability of the way the fans are invested in something like this. People have talked about the long, long hashed out storyline, how people are always into instant gratification. This really felt more old school to me and Jeff, where, wow, it took its time from the G1 to the first meeting between these two guys, Okada and Omega, to the final climax, which was at Dominion. Did it really feel as if this story couldn't have been written any better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting as I'm sitting here talking to you guys right now. I'm literally sitting in Hollywood. I'm from Detroit originally, but I live right now in Los Angeles and work a little bit. I'm lucky enough to work a little bit in the as a writer in the film and television industry out here. And the trend in the rest of the entertainment industry for the last few years has been detailed, long-term storylines. Like Breaking Bad might be a good example of that type of drama, right? And there's been a million others. Lost was probably a real landmark show in terms of introducing that style or bringing it back. So in terms of drama shows and even a little bit in comedy, in general in the entertainment industry right now, that long game, that long haul, the really detailed, intricate writing that pays off in a big way at the end, it's just been so important. And we don't often see it. We certainly don't see it, in the Smash TV kind of style of WWE, right? You know, the Attitude Era style was 180 degrees different. But you're definitely seeing it in New Japan and the way that they present their product right now. And I think that just like what's happening for fans of the overall entertainment industry and all these binge-worthy Netflix-y type shows, I think that that's what viewers want right now. And they're eating it up in the same way and appreciating it in the same way in New Japan.
Kenny Omega, now the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Now,
can't believe you're saying that. It's unbelievable.
I know, right? He goes on now to, and we found out a few days afterwards, that he will take on now Cody at the G1 special at the Cow Palace. Talk about that right away. So you get Okada, and then now he rehashes a match with Cody that we saw at Supercard of Honor. It just keeps getting better for New Japan as they head into the Cow Palace for July.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stakes are going to be higher for both of these guys. And the stakes felt high at Ring of Honor. You know, being there live in the building, you know, over that WrestleMania weekend, the Ring of Honor show, it was the biggest show in their history. Where Kenny took on Cody the first time, right? It was 6,000 people. It was sold out there in New Orleans. The atmosphere was incredible. But this is going to be bigger in every way. There's more on the line for these guys. The title, obviously. It's Kenny's first title defense. It's Cody's opportunity to take the title from him. And more, presumably more people in the building, you know. So I think in an larger arena. So I think in live television with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett calling it on Access, I think just in every way it's going to get bigger, and I think these guys are going to rise to it.
There's no question about it. From the first encounter to now, and now it's something even more on the line, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship with Kenny's first title defense. It really feels like New Japan is constantly, Jeff and I have been watching, I'm sure you're covering it, is constantly evolving, recreating itself, and evolving now with the times. But somebody that's always evolving and seems to be doing the same thing as Chris Jericho, and we can't take anything away from probably maybe the second best match on the card, Jericho versus Naito. A surprise to everybody, Chris Jericho winning the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. How surprising was that for you, and how entertaining has it been for you as a fan, particularly, to see this new reinvention of Chris Jericho and what he's brought to New Japan?
I love it. I mean, I was saying on the Dominion preview show for New Japan World that we were just talking about, I was saying on there that Jericho has been completely unhinged during his New Japan run. He's been vicious. You know, he wants to shock fans. He wants to shock the world. He's been very effective at it. But the Chris Jericho we see on Japanese soil is a much different Chris Jericho than we see on U.S. soil. And he comes there with a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to bloody these guys. And he's been accomplishing that. But, you know, one thing for me as a fan, and I'm, you know, maybe you guys feel this way too, is I really, one thing I really like about a great professional wrestling show is I like to see different types of matches on the show. I like to see different styles of matches on the show. And when you look at these, the last three matches on Dominion, you were going from the junior heavyweight title match, which obviously is really high risk and high flying. And then you've got Jericho and Naito, which is this totally, you know, cruelly vicious brawl. And then this epic technical wrestling match between Kenny and Omega on top. They're just such different styles. And it's part of what I just enjoy about New Japan as a fan of the business and of the sport.
Mark, what do you think Chris Jericho has meant to New Japan? We know the wrestling has been outstanding. We know that he's offered you high-profile matches as far as his name. But what else do you think he's brought to New Japan?
I think he's been a game-changer in terms of overall awareness of the product. I think that when, for a lot of fans, when they hear that Jericho is there, and Rey Mysterio to a certain degree as well, when they hear that those names are on the card, it adds further credence and further legitimacy to New Japan as a promotion for those fans who might have been hearing about it, more casual fans who want to sample it, want to try it, but I hear these guys are great, but I don't really know any of them. Well, everybody knows Chris Jericho, and everybody knows Rey Mysterio. Those are household names in and outside of wrestling. So I think it's a big deal. I really do. I think it's a big deal for New Japan. And look, it's been a big deal for those guys, too. You can't deny that it's been good for everybody. Jericho's gotten a tremendous amount of attention for himself and his brand, and it's benefited New Japan. So it's been a win-win for everybody.
It's definitely been a win-win for everybody, Mark. And something that I've always I want to kind of piggyback off what Jeff was saying here is that you're talking about what Jericho's brought to New Japan, and he's kind of given, you said, that legitimacy, maybe in a sense where people who probably are casual fans, they're not die-hardcores, and people kind of use that as a dirty word, you know, that watch it and know about New Japan, bringing it, opening its eyes to a new audience. Do you think with the, you know, supposed, people have been talking about, you know, the passing of the torch theoretically from Okada and the long title he's had with the IWGP heavyweight title, and now Kenny, after for so long chasing that and chasing Okada, finally having that, could Kenny and the situation now with, when you see the title contenders, Jericho's the Intercontinental Champion, Kenny's the heavyweight champion, the Young Bucks are the tag team champions, Michael Elgin is the openweight champion. Do you think there's a Jay White, for example, U.S. champion? Do you think there's more of a passing of the guard now where maybe somebody like Kenny Omega can be that bridge to get the casual fan who maybe in the United States, for example, as they're doing the G1 special, can now put more eyes on New Japan Wrestling and open them to a new audience that they haven't had before?
I mean, I wouldn't argue that point. I think, yes, there absolutely could be. And I would say, hand in hand with that, I mean, something is happening in this business right now, that is extremely exciting. When you see these guys, Cody and the Bucks, and of course Kenny's involved too, sell out the Sears Center 10,000 seats in Chicago for All In on September 1st in less than a half an hour, which is history making, right? Nobody's been selling tickets like that for an independent show ever. And nobody sold tickets, that many tickets for a show outside of WWE in a very, very long time. Decades, I think, since WCW went out of business. So there is an energy and an excitement around a lot of this talent, the Codys, the Bucks, the Kennys, these folks that we're listing here, that's really, really unprecedented. And it feels like we're in uncharted waters. I remember back when the Monday Night Wars were just revving up. I remember when the NWO picked up Rey Mysterio and they lawn darted him, you know, into that production truck out behind the arena. One of the very famous moments of the Monday Night Wars. But when that happened, I remember thinking, as a fan, that we're in completely uncharted territory as in wrestling right now. Like, we're going somewhere we've never gone before. And I feel that way again right now. I think we're in what is still the beginnings of a new type of boom period in wrestling. And those guys selling out that arena and the energy around those guys is something unprecedented, and I'm not sure where we're going and how big it's going to get, but I think it's very exciting. I mean, as we're recording this, you know, today, ROH is talking about, you know, publicly talking about running Madison Square Garden, you know, in March of 2019. Like, exciting things are happening right now.
And just amazing thing that's the, you know, WWE's house, so to speak, right? And to think that ROH, or maybe there's a talks of CMLL show being there in September, just the thought and the idea that Madison Square Garden would be open to having another show not being WWE in there is a huge, huge impact for the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tremendous. I know WWE doesn't run there that much anymore because of the cost of running the arena. And, you know, if Sinclair, who owns ROH, wants to, you know, help out, because Sinclair is a massive, massive company. You know, certainly they can afford to run there. But, I was there in the arena. Maybe you guys were there, too, because I know you were there WrestleMania weekend. I was there, you know, live in person for ROH in New Orleans WrestleMania week, as we were just talking about, sold out that 6,000 seats. And I think building off of that, you know, they feel like, hey, why the heck not? You know, let's go big next year and see if we can do it. The energy in that arena was huge, and I don't know the numbers factually, but certainly people were, the rumors were that they felt like they could have sold a couple thousand beyond that, beyond the 6,000. So
it's getting steam, Mark.
I feel confident booking MSG.
No, it's gaining steam, you know. You're right. They could have booked, they had 2,000 more. It's arguably that Kenny and Cody was the match of that whole weekend over there, which everyone was talking about. So I totally agree with you that they could have sold 2,000 more seats, maybe even 10,000. But wrestling is in a great uptick right now. And, of course, talking about Dominion here, we're previewing it with a recapping at Ashley Mark Warzeka. The Young Bucks, they continue to amaze. Their first opportunity at the tag team heavyweight titles. Are you surprised by anything that they do now?
I feel like I'm constantly surprised by them. Yeah. I mean, it's like every day these guys go further. Like, they take it up a notch. They take it up a notch. They take it up a notch. I was lucky enough to get to host a documentary for New Japan World featuring the Bucks called Brothers in Arms. It's up on New Japan World now. It's called Brothers in Arms. It's kind of a look. It's about 15 minutes. It's kind of a look at their lives and what they're going through with the breakup of the Bullet Club. And if fans have a chance, if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it, because it's a different sort of look into the psyches of these guys. But I got to spend a lot of time with them, you know, the day we were shooting that, and really got to see how hardworking these guys are, how what great family men these guys are. We talked to their wives, we talked to their kids, we talked to their parents. It didn't all make the final cut. Some of it did. But they're great family men. They're smart businessmen. They work, you know, as hard as they possibly can. They're tremendous in the ring. I mean, and they just keep going to that next level. More titles, more T-shirts sold, more tickets sold at arenas. They're legitimate draws as essentially as independent wrestlers. I mean, they're affiliated with many different promotions. But what they've built for themselves is absolutely remarkable. Trailblazers.
Yes, that would be the perfect word, trailblazers, and they've done a great job of doing that. And, you know, the whole premise here that we're talking about is evolution, you know, reinvention and things of that nature, and trailblazers, perfect way to describe the Young Bucks. Mark, you know, you mentioned before, it seems to be a boom. I mean, I think Jeff and I really felt it towards the tail end of 2017, now here in 2018, and God knows what happens now in the future. But, you know, with that being said, with New Japan, Ring of Honor, even, for example, another promotion like Impact, it really seems like they're gaining a lot more momentum now. I'm of the belief, hopefully, and Jeff kind of disagrees with me. I've had certain people on the show that have not really seen it from my perspective, but I'm not trying to go back in the days of the Attitude Era where there are two major companies going after each other. It might not ever happen again, but do you have the sense now where, for example, if you're a talent out there, whether it be New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, if you want to do Lucha Underground, for example, there's just so many more options now for talent, which actually benefits all the promotions out there, because it really feels like, especially with All In, everyone's working together collectively to put eyes back on professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's very, very, I think that's true. It certainly doesn't feel like it's just WWE anymore. I think for the talent, it feels like there's a tremendous amount of places to work, of options for them, which is really good for everybody. And I throw, I've been checking out MLW, you know, their new promotion, and they have TV, and there's a lot of tremendous talent on there. And, you know, some other companies too that are out there that are just do the whole British scene. You know, there's a lot of places for people to go make money and luckily work and enjoy themselves, and for fans to come see a product that is probably better than it's ever been. I mean, like, the quality of professional wrestling right now is just off the charts. Like, not only are there lots of great promotions, but they're putting on really, really great shows and really great matches. And it's so satisfying as a fan, you know, to support this stuff, because I think the wrestlers, you know, we get a great experience as fans, and the wrestlers appreciate us being there. It's everybody's gaining. Everybody's gaining.
I can feel the enthusiasm from Mark. I mean, I'm grinning from ear to ear as he's talking,
How
Jeff.
Could you not? Coming off of Dominion and then knowing you've got Cody and Kenny coming up in July in the U.S. for the G1 special in the Cow Palace, of all places, a historic site for wrestling. I mean, how could you not be right now? Two final ones for me, Mark. Going to wrap this up here soon. The new leadership under New Japan. Just your thoughts on the direction, the global expansion, as New Japan looks forward now. They said a lot towards the end of the show. The global expansion of New Japan, just your thoughts real quick.
Well, I think now is the time. You know, I mean, I think that strike while the iron's hot. Fans are hungry for it. There's an appetite for it. And there's certainly more and more English content on New Japan World. Kevin Kelly, who, you know, I consider the voice of the English voice of New Japan World, is doing more and more commentary. He's there in Japan more than he's ever been. And when he's not able to be in Japan, he's, you know, recording in the studio, you know, near his home in the United States. And with just a slight delay, those shows are getting put up more frequently on New Japan World with English commentary. And then we're trying to do more special things, like we did with this Dominion preview show, you know, an English preview show for fans who may be newer to the product to hook into the story. So I think that you're going to see more and more of that from New Japan World. And I think that'll be a good thing for everybody. Fans want to, you know, I really strongly believe, and I know New Japan does too, that fans want to access this product. They want help being brought into it. They want to understand the stories. They want to be able to get on board. They're hungry for it. And I think New Japan really wants to work hard to try to meet that need right now.
And then, of course, a lot of people, Dave Meltzer even said it's probably the greatest match he's ever seen. Now, everyone thought the Wrestle Kingdom one, the first one, was the greatest match they've ever seen. Where would you rank this as far as all-time greats for you? I know everyone has a different opinion on it. But I will go, suffice to say, this is definitely a top five one, this past matchup at Dominion. Where do you rank this matchup all time?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the Wrestle Kingdom match was the best match I've ever seen. I actually was watching it alone and said to myself out loud, when they still had like 10 minutes left, this is the greatest match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even over yet. And I just couldn't believe what I was watching. And I felt like this match was better. So... I guess this is my number one now. You know, it was incredible. I mean, I think this is going to absolutely be a classic that we're going to be talking about years and decades from now. We're going to be talking about Kenny and Cody the way we talk about Flair and Kenny and Omega the way we talk about, you know, Flair and Steamboat and Flair and Funk I Quit Match. You know, all those sort of classic feuds. We're going to be talking about this like that.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, thank you so much for joining the show. We know you got to go and run, but much appreciated. Of course, Dominion, you can catch it on Japan World whenever you can. I suggest you do it. And of course, you know, the G1 special will be in San Francisco July the 7th. At the Cow Palace, you got Cody and Kenny and Mark Warzeka. You can check out his work in New Japan World TV. He is all over that. Love your preview shows, man. Don't let Rocky Romero bully you so much, though, dude.
The guy has no respect for no respect.
But listen, we have respect for you, though, Mark, for joining us and giving us a few minutes. We'd love to talk to you after maybe the G1 special, too, and get your take on it, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, great. Love that. I'll be there live, of course, and would love to check in with you guys about it.
Mark, thank you so much, man. Thanks for coming on the High Spot Podcast.
Thanks, guys.
All right, trendsetter, our thanks go out to Mark Warzeka from New Japan Pro Wrestling TV. He is everywhere on there. Like I said, Rocky Romero just got to take it easy on Mark. You know what I mean? You know, they do have a good dynamic, but I just think he bullies him too much. But all kidding aside, though, we thank Mark Warzeka for joining us. You know, one thing, too, also about Dominion was just the high quality matches too, because it just wasn't those two matches. You also had, of course, Rey Mysterio Jr. wrestling for the first time in New Japan. You had also Will Ospreay lose the Junior Heavyweight Championship. So I mean, there were so many things that happened at Dominion that, you know, you got to give yourself the time and go back and watch it, because it is without a doubt one of the best pay-per-views you're going to see this year, maybe one of the best pay-per-views in the last 10 years. So do yourself a favor and catch New Japan Dominion whenever you get a chance to. Just subscribe to the thing. It's $9.99. You can't beat that. And wow, still have that hangover, man. I could watch Okada and Kenny like now. And
yeah, you look like you need a sip of water, Jeff, to kind of cool yourself down just by talking about you're reliving all those moments. But yeah, taking nothing away from the card. But let's be honest, Jeff, the whole billing was really basically Okada, Omega, and then it was Jericho, Naito, where people were going to pay money to see this because this is what they wanted to see. But yeah, of course, the entire undercard, I'm not saying that to be discredited to it, but it was the undercard of the show, were amazing as well. And things that kind of get overlooked, but again, don't get underappreciated by the audience and the people that do watch it. So if you guys have a chance to, like Jeff said, go ahead, take your moment, watch it, make sure you have nothing else to do, turn off the phone, you know, lock the door, turn on the AC if it's hot in the room, and just watch it, because you're going to be on the edge of your seat wanting to see this and don't want to be interrupted. But again, like you said, this is probably one of the best cards of the year for New Japan. Maybe even better, in my opinion, I would say, in my opinion, in terms of what we saw at Wrestle Kingdom. This is kind of super exceeded in terms of the excitement, everything you're looking forward to, and it kind of exceeded, like Mark said, expectations when you didn't really try to have that many high ones for something like this. And now it just leads to me wondering, now that we're moving on in terms of now Kenny's first title defense will be against Cody. Wow, rehashing that rivalry from what we saw at Supercard of Honor in New Orleans to this now his first title defense, the history these two have with one another. My goodness, now the G1 special is looking even more to steal the show and trying to top what they did at Dominion.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better under new leadership in New Japan. Of course, the global expansion is in full effect, so we cannot wait till July the 7th for the G1 special at a very historic wrestling site, the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Again, Mark Warzeka interview was brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire spring and summer fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code High Spot Podcast, all in caps. Trendsetter, one thing that Mark really said that was interesting too was Ring of Honor possibly having a show at MSG, the world's most famous arena, the home, so to speak, of WWE, and just that momentum that another show besides WWE could actually, you know, take place in MSG. That's just crazy, man. It's a crazy thought, but it could happen in March next year.
It's a crazy thought, but let's be honest, Chef. It's not that crazy. It's not that far-fetched. I had it with you, and you said to me, oh, there's no way Vince is going to allow it to happen, but let's be honest. How many shows do they run in the course of a year?
It's dwindled down, man. It's gone to Brooklyn, to MSG. Yeah, it's gone to Brooklyn. That's been their place. It's been their home, and you know, we know how expensive it is to run at the Garden. It's almost like, you know, $500,000. And I think Tommy Dreamer said it, that you got to get union workers too. So you better be able to sell out the Garden to cover expenses too. But Sinclair Broadcasting, they have a boatload, a truckload, a plethora of cash that they can invest into this. And man, I'm looking forward to it. And of course, you know, we've had a good relationship with Ring of Honor. How great would it be during WrestleMania weekend for us to attend a Ring of Honor event at Madison Square Garden?
Although it does sound crazy, maybe 10 years ago, to even think that something like this could happen, you'd be like, oh, Brian, you're a crazy trendsetter, you'd say to me, and you'd be like, ha, 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 in your Vince voice. It's not as far-fetched.
Crazy bastard.
It's not far, and I do see a crazy bastard, exactly. That's Vince, you crazy. You remind me of Jackie Gleason. not as funny as him, though. But it's not as far-fetched to happen, because right now, the way things are going and the way this company's evolving, I could see it happen sooner than later.
So there you go, Ring of Honor possibly, and a story that was not broken, but where I saw from PW Insider, I think it was Sinclair Broadcasting was interviewed by the Baltimore Sun in Baltimore. And of course, you know, before we get to even the G1 special in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, you've got Best in the World on June 29th, and that's going to be headlined by the Ring of Honor Championship match between Dalton Castle, the champion, and Cody with Marty Scurll, triple threat matchup. That's going to be important because heading into All In, that champion will, you know, whether it's, you know, hopefully it's Cody in Cody's mind. If it's him, it's going to be title for title between Nick Aldis and Cody. That's the only match right now scheduled for All In that's been announced. So if Cody were to win, he now would go to All In and defend that Ring of Honor championship against Nick Aldis' NWA championship. And then in between that, he has to go take on Kenny Omega at the Cow Palace on July the 7th. So it's going to be a great summer for Japan, for Ring of Honor, as they head into All In, too. And, of course, we are all in.
If that happens.
If that happens. You're correct, sir. There's so much that could go on between those dates. But, you know, Best in the World now, we will turn our attention to it. It's a few weeks away, though. So, but a lot of things can happen. Of course, we will be all in Trendsetter. We will be all in Labor Day weekend in Chicago for an amazing event. We will be in Podcast Row and looking forward to a history-making weekend, Labor Day in Chicago at the Sears Center for All In. All right, Trendsetter, where can they listen to the High Spot Podcast?
Well, for all the members of the crew listening to it on a week-to-week basis every Friday, guys, you guys can listen to the High Spot Podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating, write a review, guys. It only takes a couple of seconds. You can also listen to the show, which you love so much, and Jeff and I love doing as well. You can listen to the show and check it out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean.
And, of course, the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Rich Swann, Mia Yim, and, of course, Kiera Hogan of Impact Wrestling. Plus, you can catch the videos from the High Spot Podcast miniseries Adventures with the Trendsetter. Trendsetter, that is our moneymaker, our bread and butter, and we thank you for gracing us with your presence on our YouTube channel.
Oh, pleasure's all mine.
All right, Trendsetter, now our focus moves on to Chicago, but not for All In. We're talking about Money in the Bank and NXT TakeOver from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. You know, WWE has been off our radar the last few weeks, but now, of course, with it being the go-home show this past week for Raw and SmackDown, of course, Money in the Bank is this Sunday and TakeOver on Saturday. Just your thoughts real quick on these pay-per-views, these specials on the network. I think I'm, again, thinking under the impression that TakeOver will supersede and outdo Money in the Bank.
Well, that's kind of always been the way. I mean, there's a reason why NXT TakeOver is always before these major events, which they're trying to make Money in the Bank now this you know, one of the major pay-per-views to watch now with the TakeOver in front of it, is because it sets the bar. It gets the crowd involved into it more, as opposed to if they're just going to it for Money in the Bank, maybe they wouldn't be so excited for it. So you get two banging your buck for two, basically, here, because, you know, NXT TakeOver always seems to have great shows. You know, it's something that we haven't spoken about in quite a long time, but let's not discredit NXT for what they've been doing, because the quality of what they have, the talent they've had on the shows, and I'll just name a few, like Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, the Velveteen Dream, we also forget Aleister Black, and the plethora of that roster of what they have in terms of talent there, as well as the women's division too. But yeah, they always seem to kick off the show. My thoughts is NXT is going to knock it out of the park yet again. I'm looking forward to Ricochet and the Velveteen Dream. That's one match I'm really looking forward to from the way they built it up and just how, you know, those two work well off each other, and they have worked in the ring before. Of course, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, this rivalry being so heated and so personal. That's, again, another example, too, with, you know, maybe, unfortunately, you don't want somebody to get injured, but maybe it's a blessing in disguise because this rivalry has continued so lengthy that people are emotionally invested into it.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about before being emotionally invested. Yes, unfortunately, that, you know, we were talking about on the WWE side, that what is the rivalry that recently has got you emotionally invested? And, you know, when you have to think about it, you have to think about NXT. And I think they do it so well, because this will be almost a year now where, you know, Ciampa kind of, you know, turned his back on Gargano in Chicago. So as we almost head down to that year, it's going to be amazing. It's kind of like, you know, metaphoric, symbolic that this happens in Chicago, that this feud supposedly will end in Chicago.
Yes, I mean, you have that to look forward to, and then obviously Money in the Bank and the build-up and anticipation they have for it as well. The whole Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax, her first ever attempt to win a WWE Championship in her second match, and then the Money in the Bank ladder match, both men and women, both whoever wins it has the chance to face their respective champion on their brand, which built up a lot of storyline, which would lead into SummerSlam. So there are some exciting elements to it, too. In terms of emotionally invested, there are certain elements of NXT TakeOver that I'm emotionally invested in. In terms of this main card right now, I'd say the only thing I'd be invested, not emotionally, but invested to see what the outcome is going to be in this whole WWE Championship storyline between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, what will happen? Will Shinsuke Nakamura finally become the WWE champion? It is under his terms, it is a last standing matchup. But if you want to listen to
last man standing match.
What did I say?
Last standing match.
Oh, okay. Last man. Well, I kind of figure that they're men, so people would think that they're...
You never know. You never know, man. Now equal rights, dude.
Yeah, the last man standing match for the WWE Championship between Nakamura and AJ Styles. But listen, Cheap House Podcast, we have a great podcast there. It's called Stick to the Gimmick, and Spencer Davies and Martin Harp will give you a full-length a preview of NXT TakeOver. They do such a great job. They've been covering that Gargano-Ciampa feud so amazingly. So, you know, give them their due. If you want to listen to a full breakdown of this amazing TakeOver Chicago match, you definitely want to listen to them on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. All we're going to do is give you our predictions. So here you go, Trendsetter. Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross for the NXT Women's Championship. Who you got?
My heart says Nikki Cross, but I'm going to have to say Shayna Baszler because I feel they're still trying to build her up as that face of the women's division. So I got Shayna Baszler in this one, Jeff.
All right, NXT Tag Team Championships on the line. I'm going to go Shayna Baszler, so there you go. You've got the NXT Tag Team Championships, Undisputed Era, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are the challengers. Listen, Undisputed Era is on a roll here, so I'm going to go Undisputed Era retaining those championships.
I would agree. I see that happening, too. It's going to be a great match. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan have great chemistry together, so it's going to be an entertaining match, but Undisputed Era walk away still NXT Tag Team Champions.
And I am looking forward to eventually, because this is what eventually they have to do. They got to have War Raiders versus Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
You like that, to hope that's going to happen.
Get that soon.
But you like to hope that's going to happen, Jeff, and they can hopefully milk it until Bobby Fish can be 100%, because I would love to see him involved in that storyline as well.
Ricochet and the Velveteen Dream. This could steal the show. This could steal the whole weekend as far as WWE matches and programming is concerned. I'm looking forward to seeing Ricochet. We saw him a little bit at TakeOver in New Orleans. He has so much potential to be the man down the road for the company, for NXT and for WWE itself. Velveteen Dream is also on another level. Even Shawn Michaels and even John Cena have said that he's a very special, talented guy. Who you got here, man? This is very tough matchup to kind of guess who's going to win here, but I'm going to go Ricochet.
You're going with Ricochet. I'm actually going with the Velveteen Dream, and I'll tell you real quick why. The mere fact that what you just mentioned, too, individuals like Shawn Michaels, John Cena, giving praise to a guy like a Velveteen Dream, the commitment he has to the character, the athleticism, the look, everything he's got going for him. Now, granted, I'm not taking anything away from Ricochet, Jeff, but there's a reason why it took him this long to get to the WWE. There's a reason why it took him this long to get to NXT. He's here. I'm thankful he's here right now, but I think right now the momentum and the way the crowd is behind someone like Velveteen Dream, I think he's marked for success. It doesn't hurt Ricochet in any manner if he doesn't win this one. And I think this storyline, this rivalry continues on, but I give the victory to the Velveteen Dream.
The NXT Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Aleister Black, the champ, against Lars Sullivan. I said it before on a lot of our past shows that Lars Sullivan was my sleeper, that this would be the guy. And I think even when we were doing NXT Weekly, I said that, boy, that feels like a long time ago. And that is that Lars Sullivan is going to eventually, you know, be in the main event picture. Now, maybe this was sooner than later that I thought, but still he is there. He does have a unique presence about him. He is definitely somebody that is unique and someone that would be on Vincent Triple H's radar. But listen, Aleister Black still is the man. This all depends on whether Aleister Black has the rocket strapped to his back and whether he's going to go to the main roster sooner than later. But I still believe that Aleister Black's going to defend this championship, and I think that Lars Sullivan is going to fall short in his challenge for the NXT Championship.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually pulled the swerve on us, Jeff, and actually had Lars Sullivan defeat the undefeated streak of Aleister Black and work somewhere where Aleister now chases the title and tries to regain and becomes a two-time NXT champion. But from what I'm feeling right now internally in my gut right now, I still think Aleister Black will successfully defend his title, but Lars Sullivan is not far off.
And then, of course, we saved the matchup that everyone can't wait to see, a Chicago street fight between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. This matchup has been done so well, the lead-in I'm talking about.
And so well, too, that the title, most people would say, historians would say, the title should end the show. A rivalry this good and this committed and this invested by the audience should end the show. Chicago street fight.
Yeah, I mean, this was the one that we've been emotionally invested in. And again, this is the one that I believe will main event the show. You know, whether people want to say, you know, the championship should always headline it, I believe that this matchup has been maybe the feud of the year in WWE. And I believe that, you know, this will end the night. And I think at the end of the day, this has all the signs for Gargano coming out on top. But leave it to the WWE where they could, you know, have their spin, have Ciampa come out and become successful in his push, because maybe Gargano gets, you know, called up to the main roster, so maybe Ciampa needs something, a win over Gargano to send him on his way. So I believe Tommaso Ciampa comes out the winner, and kudos to Ciampa, because he has done an amazing job with his character transformation and just this black heart that he's portraying. Kudos to Ciampa, but I think here where it says all signs point to the baby face supposedly having to come out on top, I'm going to say Ciampa shocks the world and beats Johnny Gargano.
I hate that you and I agree on things very much. The only thing we didn't agree with was Ricochet and the Velveteen Dream. Yes, I would have to agree with you. In terms of who needs it more, who does it matter to more, a lot of people would say Johnny Gargano. If everything he's had to deal with, the personal vendetta, the torture his family's gone through, especially his wife and Johnny together. But I think Tommaso Ciampa needs this victory more than anything. It just establishes and solidifies him as one of those top guys in NXT. And, you know, wouldn't it be far-fetched to think that maybe Johnny Gargano's time in NXT is going to be short-lived, not due to this rivalry, but the mere fact that they might want to bring him up to the main roster.
That is always the X factor. So there you go. Those are our predictions for NXT TakeOver Chicago. Usually it is the, you know, better of the two shows between the pay-per-view, the network special itself in, you know, W Money in the Bank.
It's usually a safe bet.
It's much a safe bet. So you're going to be talking about, I believe, come Monday, you're going to be talking about Ricochet, Velveteen Dream, and taking the thing away from Aleister Black.
Or Gargano, Ciampa.
Exactly. You're going to talk about Gargano and Ciampa. So those are, to me, are the two matches that have the possibility of stealing the show. So that is NXT TakeOver on Saturday night. We move to Sunday, and the big one, WWE Money in the Bank, it'll be briefcases for the men and the females. If you saw Raw, they reminded you of ladder matches because they had them sticking up on ladders. And
yeah, how funny is it, too, that somebody brought up a great point. I think it was Lance Storm, right? We don't have to worry anymore about people pointing toward the WrestleMania sign.
No, no. You know it's Money in the Bank season.
The briefcases. Yeah. So instead of the point that we get, it's the stare up in the air looking at those briefcases like, God, I can't wait until it's over and they finally bring them down. But yes, Jeff, we're looking forward to the briefcases that will be on display at Money in the Bank in Chicago, Illinois. One for the women, one for the men. A lot riding on the line here.
Basically, you're guaranteed to win the championship that you go for when you cash in Money in the Bank. So that is going to be, you know, finding out who's going to do it. Will WWE shock us, or will they be predictable and give it to Braun Strowman? You never know who the wild card could be. But here we go, Trendsetter. We're going to give you our little predictions here. And listen, we think alike here. The only difference we had in the TakeOver was Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. But let's see if we can, you know, change
it's interesting.
Things up here, Trendsetter.
We don't agree very much when we're talking about other promotions because there's always that X factor of kind of the unpredictability, but if I can speak English. And it seems like with WWE, it seems to be like we're always on the same page.
Yeah, so let's find out if we are on the same page.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Daniel Bryan and Big Cass.
I'm giving this in the Big Cass just because just the way the storyline's been building up. I don't think it's the last time. Unfortunately, I feel like, you know, this has gotten pretty stale, but I'm giving the victory to Big Cass in this one, Jeff.
Just to be different, I'll give it to Daniel Bryan. I'll give it to Daniel
just
Bryan.
Just to be different. Just come on, you know different. They're going towards Big Cass.
Yeah, I'm going to go Daniel Bryan, even though he hasn't signed his extension and they may be leery of pushing him right now. And it should be that Big Cass gets the win here. He's been made out to look like a fool. I'm still going to go Daniel Bryan.
Speaking of fools right now, we got Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal going one-on-one in some type of a grudge match. Obviously, there's a lot of heated...
Foolish match.
There's a heated exchange here because Jinder Mahal cost Roman Reigns an opportunity at Money in the Bank to be in that match right now. I mean, you know, honestly, Jeff, I'm never a betting man. I've never played the lottery. If I did, the safe bet would be Roman Reigns here.
I got to go Roman Reigns here. Roman Reigns is the big dog and supposedly the guy that's going to go to SummerSlam.
So is the big dog bigger than the modern-day Maharaja?
I believe so.
I think that's all I need to hear.
Then you've got, of course, Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. This is the feud that we wish it would end, and hopefully it ends at Money in the Bank. I'm going to go Bobby Lashley here. I mean, Sami Zayn's been the ultimate heel.
I was going to say that the rivalry, we never thought that ever started because it just seemed to always get derailed. But no, you're right. Continue, Jeff. What do you got in this one?
This has got Bobby Lashley all the way here because, of course, all the heel heat's been taken by Sami Zayn. He's been made Bobby Lashley to be made a fool. I still argue with the fact that Bobby Lashley could be a main eventer. I mean, yes, he's got the body, but man, I mean, you talk about you want to get on Roman Reigns' promos. This promo, this guy, his promos is just, it's just, you know, I can't deal with it. So I don't know how he's going to be.
But here's the difference, though, Jeff. You knew you were getting out of Bobby Lashley, so it doesn't come to a surprise as opposed to everything that was all momentum put behind Roman Reigns. I think it was falsified for the fact that you knew what you were getting as well. But again, yeah, Bobby Lashley, since he debuted the night after WrestleMania on Raw, it's just been on a downward spiral, unfortunately. Most people said he probably made the mistake and should have stayed with Impact Wrestling. I would kind of have to agree with people on that one.
Yeah, so let's move on. Sorry, Sami Zayn. We wish you were in a more meaningful feud, but we got to move on. The SmackDown Live Tag Team titles, so amazing of a match. This is going to be on the kickoff show, the Bludgeon Brothers against the new and improved six-pack Good Brothers in Gallows and Anderson.
If they both have six-packs, then that's a 12-pack.
Okay, the 12-pack brothers then. Yeah. And
part of me wants to vote for the Good Brothers. I want to see them gain a championship here.
Either way, the brothers are going to win, so I'm going to go the Bludgeon Brothers.
I'm going with the Bludgeon Brothers as well, Jeff.
Yep, Bludgeon Brothers.
Let me get a word in edgewise, God's sakes.
Oh, come on. You say that again, but you've cut me off in the last...
Because you don't let me talk. That's a problem.
Okay. All right. Raw tag team titles, the Leaders of Worlds versus the B Team.
I don't want to talk.
I'm going to go to the Leaders of Worlds here. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. Broken Matt Hardy there.
Happy with the B Team, though. They're kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact. The
and Bo Dallas.
See what I mean? See what you're talking over me right now.
I'm sorry.
No, anyway. So the B Team.
Not really.
So I was saying the very fact that the B Team has white T-shirts that look like they got markers printed on them that you actually have to buy from WWEShop.com is ridiculous. So I'm going to go to the Leaders of Worlds, Bray and Matt Hardy. I don't see them losing to the B Team. But, you know, good for Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas to be on a pay-per-view. Good for them. They've really done a good job.
We got SmackDown Women's Championship on the line, Jeff. Carmella, her second title defense against the used to be undefeatable Asuka right now. Who do you got winning in this one?
Oh man, I'm gonna go Asuka. I'm gonna change it up, go Asuka here because, I could see somewhere where Charlotte, not even Charlotte, because she's gonna be in the Money in the Bank. But I just cannot see Carmella defeating Asuka. I could see her cheating her way, but man, Asuka, I just see her deserving of the women's championship, so I'm going to go Asuka here.
It's amazing, Jeff. Really amazing to me that you hesitate to even answer that question. But for me, it's going to be Carmella. For the mere fact, I think they have all their marbles stacked, their chips up
and
on Mella, Carmella.
And Mella is money.
Exactly. They want to keep that money, so Carmella retains her title.
All right. I really don't know if the U.S. title's on the line, and I don't know. I know that Jeff Hardy did plead guilty to DWI. So I don't know if the Intercontinental title is on the line. I don't know if the U.S. title is on the line, so we won't do that.
We'll find out.
We will find out. The Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Seth Rollins against Elias. Are you going to walk with Elias, or are you going to go with Seth Rollins?
I thought his name was Elias.
No, that's the Intercontinental guy.
Yeah, he's retired.
And only two people know that reference anyways.
Yes, thank you. Talking Dells. It's like, man, mirror image of each other. It's like, who's fighting who? Which one's Seth and which one's Elias?
Did you see them put their heads on different bodies and they look exactly alike? Yeah, so.
Yeah, I got Seth Rollins retaining the title on this one right now.
I want to walk with Elias, but again, a lot of people...
There's only one Elias, Jeff.
Who?
It's Marty.
Marty! It's exactly. A Marty Ponte!
Exactly.
I know you said you want me to do it again, but I just had to there. Yeah, there is one Elias, and that's Marty Elias. But as much as I like this Elias... The question is, a lot of people love the whole, guitar playing, how he gets great heat. But then the bell rings. I don't see anything that differentiates him from anybody else. So until I see a change, yes, he's got a good look. Yes, he has everything to be a a main eventer, but I haven't seen him in a meaningful feud. So maybe this one, he'll take a loss here and then maybe get the title down the road. But Seth Rollins is the best around right now. So I wouldn't really be so quick to take it from Seth Rollins. So I'm going to go Seth Rollins with the victory here for the Intercontinental title.
Jeff got the Raw Women's Championship on the line. Nia Jax defending her title for the second time against second match contender Ronda Rousey. What do you got in this one?
Well, Ronda Rousey showed a lot to us at WrestleMania. We were questioning whether she was ready for the big stage, and she was in a mixed tag team match. But now, this will be her first singles match, and you know, all eyes will be on her. Was Nia Jax a transitional champion for Ronda Rousey? We'll find out. If you talk to people like Ric Flair, who kind of maybe spilled the beans, saying that she had only signed a one-year deal, and that she wants to have kids down the road, then you got to think that the urgency button is to have her win the title now to set up a feud, you know, for WrestleMania, if that's how long she's going to be there. How accurate is that? We don't know. But I think that unless Natalya interferes in this matchup and she turns, I'm going to go Ronda Rousey becomes the new Raw Women's Champion.
I would agree. I'm picking Ronda Rousey on this. And I really feel they're following the same pattern, Jeff, of what happened when Ronda Rousey, who's now going to be inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame, how quickly she progressed within mixed martial arts at a very, you know, minuscule, small level of mixed martial arts, and how far she rose until she got exposed in terms of not being very well developed as a mixed martial artist, in my opinion at least. And now I think they're doing the same thing here in WWE. She's going to win it, and Nia Jax will unfortunately relinquish her title to the armbar queen, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and for Nia Jax, for her to lose the title so fast, and then to kind of question whether she's babyface or she was turning heel, yeah. That shade of gray, I just didn't think it worked. I think she had the chance to be a top face for the WWE here. So I don't know. Will Stephanie McMahon choose sides? Will she play a role in this? You don't know, but I'm still going to go Ronda Rousey as the new Raw Women's Champion too. We've got the Women's Money in the Bank briefcase match. You've got Lana, Natalya, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Ember Moon, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Sasha Banks. Trendsetter to who's who. Really, you know, tough to pick here, but if there's anybody that's going to win Money in the Bank, are you going to go with somebody that is a long shot or the sure shot and maybe like a Charlotte Flair?
A long shot would be a Lana, but also I think another long shot would be a Becky Lynch, although, you know, they've never done anything with her. I think they're trying to build her up in terms of some type of credibility. Natalya's had her moment, but I'm really feeling Alexa Bliss is going to walk out here, miss Money in the Bank.
I'm going to take... You know what? Just because I'm going to take Ember Moon and change things up. I'm going to take Ember Moon.
Okay.
She's been very successful since she debuted on Raw. She's just been winning match after match. She has a very bright future, and I believe it would be really cool to see her maybe cash in that Money in the Bank down the road. Because, honestly, she can hold that briefcase for maybe a whole year. And, you know, I really think that, you know, it would catapult her as a top name. And so I believe that Ember Moon will come out and win the Money in the Bank for the women's side.
Gotcha. So we have the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, Jeff. We have another who's who here. One member of the New Day, which they haven't decided yet, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, The Miz, Rusev, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe. What do you got here?
I'm going to go, Trendsetter, with Finn Balor. I'm going to have Finn Balor win the Money in the Bank briefcase for the men's side.
You stole my pick, goddamn it. It's like we're doing drafting, fantasy drafting. Like,
oh. We should do it. We got to do a fantasy draft one of these days.
Two people in the league? That's going to be pretty unfair.
Well, I can get some people. Get the Moody Barber on. We can get a couple more people to do the fantasy draft.
I'm picking Finn Balor, though most people will say it's Braun Strowman's to lose right now.
And I know Braun Strowman could win that briefcase and maybe cash it in on Brock, or maybe interfere in a Brock-Roman Reigns feud. But, I mean,
he doesn't need the briefcase.
Exactly. He doesn't need it. Give it to somebody. And a guy like Finn Balor, he can carry that around while he baby oils his abs. So, I mean, yeah, give it to Finn Balor. I think he deserves it.
Oh, my God. I love Finn Balor, but that really pissed me off when he did that because I was just like, oh, you jerk for doing that, you know, showing off. But, you know, a lot of people have been mentioning The Miz real quick. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, you know what? Here's my thing with The Miz. I know we all love him because his promos, he's getting the accolades he deserves because he's taking that Intercontinental title and made it, you know, I guess relevant again. And, you know, he's taking credit for the Fox and SmackDown Live deal that he's must-see TV and all that. I love the dude to death. I think he's great. I think he's the one of the faces of WWE. But let's be honest now here. Yes, he's entertaining. He's entertaining, but the wrestling, there's that aspect right there. And I just, for some reason, it just, to me, he hits a certain ceiling, and I think that's about it. And I don't know if I would be interested in seeing him with the briefcase, because he doesn't need that. He's another one that doesn't need that briefcase. He can get a shot whenever he wants to. So I believe that while The Miz is a top option, I'm still going to stick with Finn Balor.
All right. And we have one more match, Jeff, the WWE Championship match.
Yes, the last man standing match between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know, man. This is, I can't read this. I know AJ Styles definitely has reached a boiling point with Shinsuke. They had the contract signing in the back, and you know, AJ Styles lost. It slapped Shinsuke. Shinsuke is really playing up this heel role really well. He's really doing a good job of it. Finally, hopefully, he's getting some recognition for it. He's very, you really want to get angry at him. He does have, you know, those kind of tendencies where, you know, you really do want to get physical with Shinsuke Nakamura. So, listen, I'm just going to go Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to give him the win over AJ Styles, last man standing. I think he's going to find a way to cheat, and he's going to get it done in a heel way, and I think Shinsuke Nakamura will walk away with the WWE Championship.
Well, there's no doubt the charisma, Jeff, that you and I loved so much and fans chanted for and loved him, has now changed to, you know, arrogance and anger, and people actually being offended by what Shinsuke does now in the ring and in the manner in which he portrays himself. But as much as I want to lean towards that too, I gotta go towards AJ Styles, man. I just gotta think right now the way they've given him opportunity after opportunity. You're right, this might be the payoff finally for Shinsuke, but I just don't think right now the WWE believes that much in Shinsuke right now. And now that you have a Samoa Joe, for example, on your roster, I think an AJ Styles Samoa Joe feud could be in the works as well. So I see AJ retaining the title.
All right, trendsetters. So those are your NXT Takeover and Money in the Bank picks. Of course, Money in the Bank and NXT Takeovers this weekend. Maybe trendsetters. Maybe good for us to get back in the WWE fold.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll find out after Sunday, won't we?
They're going to have to convince you. You're going to have to be impressed here, thoroughly impressed after what we saw at Dominion.
Well, listen, it doesn't take a lot for me to be involved into something if the storylines or everything that I'm watching is intriguing enough for me. But let's be honest, Jeff, and we've been honest during this whole podcast, WWE's programming right now just hasn't been to the point where it has me emotionally invested to want to pay attention to it. Do I watch Raws now? Not really. I watch it here and there. Thank God for YouTube being able to kind of watch in condensed fashion to see what I've missed and what I haven't seen. Same thing for SmackDown. Maybe this whole transition, once they move over to new network or, you know, maybe there's another superstar shakeup. Who knows? Will be more interesting to watch. But as of right now, yeah, I'll pay attention to it. I'll watch it. We'll talk about it. But right now, a lot of my attention, I can't speak for you, has been drawn over to the other promotions out there that we speak of, whether it be New Japan, Ring of Honor, talking about Lucha Underground series, and, you know, talking about Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, and of course, Lucha Underground premiered this past Wednesday. So congratulations to everybody on board there, and also Marty Elias, who is on board with that. So, you know, a great premiere for Lucha Underground. Man, trendsetter, so much going on in wrestling.
Wrestling as well, but something that I've been intrigued into because it also relates to wrestling depending on what the outcome was going to be. We spoke about the CM Punk situation that he didn't have to pay anything, that they found that, you know, he did nothing wrong in his trial case against WWE doctors. And, of course, his fight at UFC 225 was, again, another loss on his record, too, which Dana White has said.
It.
Now, that's it. You know, if he's going to continue this journey, he has to continue it elsewhere. Good luck in your future endeavors. But at the end of the day, whether he returns to wrestling right now, I think that's going to be the main question, Jeff. For the only thing I can say about CM Punk or Phil Brooks in this case is, hey, you did something that not a lot of people thought you could ever do or give you credit for. He put in the time and dedication. But at this stage in his life, this stage in his career, you know, the learning curve or something like that is completely, I think it's caught up to him. And you know what? Maybe he never fights again. Maybe he never steps in the ring again. But at least, you know, the only thing I could say about Phil Brooks, CM Punk, is that he did what he wanted to do and he did it on his terms.
He did. And for that, I give him a ton of credit because forget what the naysayers say. Forget what other people want you to do. It's about what you want to do in your life. And he did it. Now, if you think about it, though, here's a guy who definitely was a wrestler. And he took this up, in the late part of his life. It's something that you have to do when you're younger and you need years and years of experience. Didn't even have a belt, you know, to his name as far as like a colored belt, you know, in whatever he was doing. So you think about going to maybe say to the major leagues in 3 years, that was crazy to think that he would be able to be on that level, but he did it. Now, what really bothers me is the only thing that bothers me about this is he really that emotionally scarred from professional wrestling? Is something that he loved, could something that you love so much and claim that you loved it with all of your heart and it was your passion and you gave almost your entire life to it, and now you can walk away from it and just be, you know, disgusted with it and be torn and be and just have such a disdain for it? I find that hard to believe.
I don't find it hard to believe, Jeff, because a guy like CM Punk seems to have always taken things very personally. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, the old saying goes, you know, if somebody slaps you in the cheek, you turn and give him the other side. You know, his idealistic mentality is in terms of, you know, an eye for an eye, basically. You screwed me over, you're dead to me scenario. But ultimately, that's not for us to be concerned about, I feel, to be honest with you. You know, it's his dealing with, it's his problem. It'd be the same thing where we're like, oh, we want Shawn Michaels to come back for more match, or we want Stone Cold to come back for more match, or The Rock is still, he can still go. Maybe he can come back and do a fantasy matchup. You know, at this point with CM Punk, to be honest with you, Jeff, and you tell me if you feel anything different. Yeah, if he were to come back, oh my goodness, there would be some pretty cool, interesting matches or storylines he could get himself into, whether it be with Ring of Honor or New Japan or whatever, you name a promotion. But I don't have the desire, from a fan standpoint at least, to want to see him back in the business.
Well, that's you. But there's wrestling fans, there's CM Punk fans, for example, who went on a tirade for Corey Graves attacking CM Punk. So there are those people, there are CM Punk fans that want to see them, that want to see him get back into the ring.
Well, if they're CM Punk fans, then they should understand the man himself too, that if he's scarred or people are attacking him, you know what? He hasn't been in the business for how many years?
Yeah.
You know, this is a business where people, you know, talk trash or say things about each other now, especially with social media. So, you know what? You shouldn't be paying attention to it. It shouldn't matter. In my opinion, what Corey Graves said was, hey, if you wanted to say it, say it. But you know what? That kind of just showcases the fact that you're still emotionally scarred by what he did. If you're letting it go and you say you have all this love for him, well, in my opinion, with the tweets, you're not really showing it too much. But again, that's me. I'm not CM Punk fans. I'm not you, Jeff. Thank God.
Oh, thank God I'm not you either, Trendsetter. Although, you got that cool beard on you, though, so that I am jealous about.
It's horrible. It's in this phase right now. I can't do anything with it.
All right, Trendsetter. So there you go. We will find out, though. I mean, I would say buy all in if he is not all in. I mean, at least doesn't make a entrance or, you know, speaks to the crowd where he said maybe, you know, after a certain time I thought it was all out, but when I see fans like you, I'm all in. That would be great. That would mean he's back in the game of pro wrestling, and then you'll have the questions of whether or not he will wrestle again. But I think he owes nothing, okay? But I think it would be great for him to be at All In. We will find out. We will find out in September if CM Punk will be All In, because he could be just working all of us and talking about his disdain for pro wrestling. But Trendsetter, again, though, it is another great episode to be here on the G-Pops Podcast Network with Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman. It is their baby. They are the flagship show here on the network. You can catch Between the Ropes every Wednesday. You know, that's when the episodes drop. Of course, you got the Cosmic Geppetto. You've got Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons. They are all in as well. Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. They will have a NXT breakdown of TakeOver Chicago. We are also on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network. So you got the Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, Shot of Wrestling, and, of course, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty, Trendsetter.
We love you, buddy.
We love you.
And with that, you've been listening to the Last Bob Podcast for the Jersey Red Crew, my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, and the Trendsetter, Brian Breger. Thank you guys so much for all the members of the crew listening to this week's episode. We will catch you next week, next Friday, as we post a new one out, because we do this for one reason.
Oh, Trendsetter. I think, in all due respect to Kenny Omega and his big win at Dominion,
yeah,
I think we should do it in Kenny Omega fashion. And we bid everybody adieu and say goodbye
and good night. Bang!
Question number 41 for the Army.
No, of course not. Women do not have to shave their heads in the Army. Although, you're not the first person to ask, let me tell you. Honestly, we don't, unless that's your thing. I'm pretty sure the guys in my platoon didn't really notice I was a girl, and that was the same for all of us, long hair or not. it's nothing like being a woman on Civvy Street.
The Army is recruiting now. To have your questions answered and find where you belong, search Army Jobs.